Arts Connection, the intersection of faith and the arts in Canadian culture, with your host, Robert White. Now, here's Robert.
Welcome to Arts Connection for Thursday, July 7th, 2011. Well, 100 Huntley Street, a production of Crossroads Christian Communications, recently received a grant recognizing its partnership with Redeemer University College's Theater Arts Program. The two Canadian Christian charities will produce and showcase original theater productions, which will be broadcast through CTS, or Crossroads Television Systems. This is good news for the Canadian Christian arts community, giving more people a chance to see original Canadian theater productions. It'll also help local theater arts programs develop television production techniques that will broaden their skill set. The money comes from the Stronger Together 2011, a collaborative granting initiative of 9 foundations and individuals who combine forces to invest in the strategic growth of Canadian faith-based charities through collaborative partnerships. If you hear about news in the art world, let me know by sending me an email at robert@selawministries.ca, that's S-E-L-A-W ministries.ca, and I'll share it on the air. Keep listening and I'll repeat the email address at the end of the show. That was Worthy from the 2004 CD Spirit Moves by Fergus Marsh, who plays both the bass and Chapman stick, an instrument that comes from the guitar and bass but also shares roots with keyboards and drums. Marsh moves fluidly between both the Christian and secular arenas and has contributed to over 50 CDs, including those by Bruce Cockburn and Steve Bell. While Kitchener's Carolyn Wilker has had poems published in Spree, Glad Tidings, and Canadian Lutheran magazines, Devotions and Eternity for Today, and the Upper Room Devotional magazine, and as an editor, she was part of the proofreading team for the award-winning African Bible Commentary. Carolyn's latest project is Once Upon a Sandbox, a collection of poetry and prose about growing up on a farm in rural Ontario. She's with us on the line to talk about the new book. Good evening, Carolyn.
Good evening.
Now, when did you become interested in writing?
About 10 years ago. I suppose I've always been a writer, but I got into it more seriously about 10 years ago.
And what led to you getting involved in it that long ago?
I was writing because I needed to get a message out about people who have issues with fragrance and how it affects their health. Mm-hmm. And it just went on from there.
And I remember you actually wrote an article for me for Christian Week about that whole issue, didn't you?
Yes.
Yeah. Now, when did you get to that point of first defining yourself and saying, I am a writer?
Sometime a little bit later.
What led to that breakthrough?
I went to Write Canada. I found myself among a group of people who felt and thought as I did, and I decided that I would explore various kinds of writing, and I just went on from there.
Now, one of the things that really comes through in your writing is your faith, and how does that come through in your writing?
It's more of a worldview. As a child growing up in the farm, we had faith that God would provide. And I think it grew out of that. It's just with me when I write.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the things you just mentioned is you, as you were going to Write Canada and attending some of the sessions, that you decided to experiment with different styles of writing. And you've done prose, you've done poetry, and most writers I know will choose a particular style and then stick with it. But you've done this variety of stuff. Why have you decided to write in a number of different styles rather than just take one and stick to it?
At first, it was experimenting. I think at this point, I'm probably doing more storytelling.
Mm-hmm. And how, in terms of storytelling, what type of things are you doing in terms of storytelling?
I'm a member of the Baden Storytellers Guild. I go out and tell stories in the community, and I tell them at the Second Story Barn. I tell stories in my book about growing up on the family farm. I tell stories to my family.
Mm-hmm. Now, you do poetry. And what is it about poetry that attracted you to writing that style?
I like free verse because it's not limited by meter and verse. It develops its own format, and I like the tight form of writing, that you have to use the right word in the right context.
Mm-hmm. I'm looking at one of the poems in Once Upon a Sandbox, it's called Frozen Weeds Were Goalposts, and you write, where corn grew tall two seasons before, our open-air arena rippled and bumpy. And you can see the visual images coming through. Is that something that attracts you to writing poetry?
Yes. Yes. I like the visuals. Now, and the spareness of poetry.
Yeah. Now, one of the things you also do is you also do prose. And you write both fiction and nonfiction. You even have got into creative nonfiction, as you say in the intro to your book. Which do you prefer? Do you prefer fiction? Do you prefer nonfiction? Is there one you like over the other?
Fiction is still an experiment at this point. I'm probably leaning more in the creative nonfiction and the poetry at this time.
Now, some of our listeners may not know what creative nonfiction is. Can you sort of define what creative nonfiction is?
creative nonfiction is a little bit different than autobiography, because autobiography expects total facts, whereas creative nonfiction, you get the sense of what that story was for you. And while you will have certain facts correct, you will write the story in a way that illustrates the scene or the story, the activity for the listener or the reader.
Now you're saying that fiction itself was an experiment for you. What were you trying to determine as you were writing some fiction?
I have written some children's stories, and I wrote an experimental novel, but it's something different for me.
One of the things I find is going back to your storytelling is, I know a couple of storytellers, is they find a real difference between the actual verbal, oral aspect of storytelling and then trying to get that on paper. Do you find the same challenge?
Yes. When I tried to tell my first stories that I had written in the way that I had written them, it didn't work that way. I needed to tell the story a little bit differently, because the listener they can't go back and reread a story that they're reading in a book. They have to listen, and you have to paint the picture for them. So you're not going to use a lot of adjectives, adverbs, that sort of thing. Keep the story a bit simpler.
Is that's in the print version?
That would be when you're telling
the story.
When you're telling the story.
Now, when you're telling, where do your stories come from in your storytelling?
They come from a variety of places. Some of them are real life. Some of them are folk tales. And others are stories that I've written that could be somewhat based on reality.
Now, as you were developing your storytelling, what was it like that very first time you actually got up and stood in front of an audience and told a story?
That was a lot of fun, and it was a bit of a challenge. I'd already been in Toastmasters, so that I had been somewhat used to standing in front of an audience. But standing in front of a storytelling audience is different, because they expect stories, not a speech.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you're looking at, and I'm looking at the different types of writing you've done over the years, is there any particular style or type of writing that you prefer to the others? Is there anything that you really like doing more than anything else? Is there one do you like doing nonfiction articles? Do you like writing fiction? Do you like poetry? Which one is the one that's your favorite style to actually sit down at a computer and actually put on paper?
I'd have to say the creative nonfiction, and if I could add another one, poetry.
Poetry, okay. Well, what I need to do right now is I need to take a quick break, and when we do, we're going to come back and continue our conversation with writer, poet, and editor Carolyn Wilker. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM, your inspiration station.
The spirit moves on turbulent water. We are born.
Welcome back to Arts Connection, and you've been listening to Spirit Moves, the title song from Fergus Marsh's 2004 CD. I'm your host, Robert White, and we're going to continue our conversation with Carolyn Wilker. Now, Carolyn, in terms of storytelling and poetry and even prose and creative nonfiction, all of that sort of comes together for you in your new book, Once Upon a Sandbox. Where did that whole idea come from?
I was inspired by a fellow storyteller who had put a collection of her stories together in a book. And I thought, I had a lot of stories on my computer that I had written when I was beginning to write. And I thought, here's a way that I could put them together, collect them, so that I could share them. That's really where it came from.
And the title itself, Once Upon a Sandbox, how'd you come up with that?
That comes from a poem that's in the book. It's called Once Upon a Sandbox.
Oh, there's my ignorance coming through. I'm sorry, you gave me a copy of your book, and I just haven't had a time to go through the whole thing, so I haven't even got to that poem yet. What's the poem Once Upon a Sandbox about?
The poem is about children playing in a sandbox, which is really a representation of children imitating their parents. We were using trucks and cars and tractors, plowing roads, making riverbeds, mm-hmm. filling it up with water. Really, it's a play.
Well, do you have a copy of it in front of you that you could read it for us? Well, she's finding that it's a collection of song, of poetry, of stories, of different things that taken place. We're going to get into a little bit more detail about that. Carolyn, can you go ahead now?
Okay. Once upon a sandbox. Its painted boards once leaned against the silver birch that shaded hatless children. Sand turned to muck with hose and bucket. We built roads and riverbeds, fields and lanes. Tractors planted, and trucks got stuck. We drove those roads at 5 and 7 with tiny wheels and hoots of laughter, played out life with sand and water.
And in seeing how you did that in the early part of the book, as you're sort of telling about growing up, you actually mentioned that aspect of taking the sand and having the water go through and creating the muck and that and there's that, you can see that difference between how the sparseness of the poetry, but yet those pictures are still there, as well as your description in the prose of how all of that played out. Now, when you're looking at Once Upon a Sandbox, a lot of it comes out of your life growing up on the farm. Was that something that you deliberately wanted to tell, was the story of life on the farm?
Yes. Life changes. We have stories that if we don't share them, they get lost. If we listen to elder stories, we can begin to appreciate their part in history and how it shaped them and how, and maybe what they did in spite of their circumstances, which can certainly happen on a farm.
Well, I think that seems to be an issue as we get into a society that focused more on things like television and video and computer and that, is the oral tradition that we used to have where we would sit around with family members and tell stories. Is that something that you were finding was starting to disappear and you needed to get these down on paper?
Partly. There's certainly a sense there, and I think that in my work with the Storytelling Guild, I'm learning more how storytelling is making a comeback. And when we listen to elder stories, you know, we can gain some appreciation of other people's lives. And certainly for my grandparents, who I had to do some research in order to write those stories, mm-hmm. it will be good to pass on to the next generation.
Now, looking at Once Upon a Sandbox, was there any one story or poem that you really consider a favorite as you were putting it together?
Aside from the Once Upon a Sandbox.
Okay.
Yes, there are several. There was the one on the skating on the frozen field.
And that story is about?
That was about skating in the field on the ice.
Okay.
That was left behind when water froze in the fields.
Okay. Now, you one of the things I noticed that was happening with you was in mid-June, and this is just before the Write Canada Writers Conference, you were talking about going through the editing and proofing process of the manuscript and the anticipation you had of getting the printed copies of Once Upon a Sandbox. What went through your mind when you first got those boxes of books?
It was such an exciting moment. I did it. I wanted to jump up and down and celebrate. It's a long process.
Mm-hmm. How long has it taken to get it to the point of when you first started thinking about putting this together and when you finally got copies of the book?
It was about 3 years ago, I believe, that I decided to put this together. And then the submission process takes a while. But when I was putting it together, I had to write more material because I didn't have quite enough to make a book. So I had to do some work, some serious work of writing and thinking of those stories and doing some research, asking questions of my parents and other people. So that process probably took, that one took over a year.
Mm-hmm.
Those are stories I had already written, so really it's been in development longer.
Yeah. Was there anything when you were doing the research for this, was there anything that came up, any of the stories that came up that surprised you that you hadn't known about?
Yes, there were several. One I remember, as we were doing also family history that year, was when my grandfather bought a tractor, his first tractor. And he thought he'd drive it out in the field. He was used to driving a team of horses. And he was used to saying, whoa, when they got to the end of the field and turning. I don't have this particular story in this book, but it's one that comes to me while I was researching. And he said, whoa, to the tractor. And, of course, the tractor didn't stop because the tractor is not the horses who are used to hearing whoa or turn. And so he decided to let his sons drive the tractor.
From that point on. Now that you're now that you have the book and now that you've started looking at marketing it, what's going through your mind as you face this task of marketing and getting the book out to readers?
There's a lot to do. I've already sent some copies to the Uppercase Books in New Hamburg and Wordsworth in Waterloo. And looking at the launch that I'm going to hold next week at St. Philip's Lutheran Church, my launch for Once Upon a Sandbox, and other events that I might do, and really putting them down on paper, thoughts that I've had in my head. It's totally different from writing the book.
Mm-hmm. And I've heard that quite frequently from authors that the task of selling it is a completely different activity. Like the writing and the editing is one side of the brain activity, and the other, the marketing and selling, is another side of the brain. And you have to put on like a completely different hat in terms of doing that. Is that something you feel comfortable with in terms of the business end of publishing?
Let's say I'm working at it.
Now, you just mentioned that there is a book launch coming up. Give us the details about that again, just so that our listeners, if they didn't catch it the first time, will be able to catch it this time.
All right. The book launch is going to be held Wednesday, July the 13th, 7 to 8:30 p.m. at St. Philip Lutheran Church in Kitchener, 236 Woodhaven Road. And we're going to have some reading, we're going to have some refreshments, we're going to have time to buy books and get them autographed, and some social time.
Great. Now, where can listeners, if they're not able to make it to the book launch, where can listeners find a copy of Once Upon a Sandbox?
They can get one from Uppercase Books in New Hamburg. They can get one from Wordsworth Books in Waterloo.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking towards more venues. The people who know me can also get a copy from me.
Right, and is there anywhere online they can get it at this point?
They can get it from my publisher as well, Hidden Brook Press.
That's Hidden Book Press?
Hidden Brook.
Hidden Brook, okay. Hidden,
yes.
Hidden Brook Press, and you can probably just Google that and find it. Is there any way they can contact you directly if people want to get a copy?
Yes, they can.
And how do they do that?
Send an email to me at carri.edit at rogers.com. That's carri.edit at rogers.com.
Well, Carolyn, thank you very much for your time today.
You're welcome.
And thank you for listening to Arts Connection, and thank you to my guest, Carolyn Wilker. Be sure to tune in next week for another look at where faith, arts, and Canadian culture meet. For more information on Arts Connection, email robert@selawministries, that's S-E-L-A-W ministries.ca, or follow us on Twitter at selaw13, S-E-L-A-W-13. For Arts Connection, I'm your host, Robert White, saying good day and God bless.
You've been listening to Arts Connection, a production of Selav Ministries. Be sure to tune in again next Thursday evening at 10, right here on Faith FM.